Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome, friend. What a day. It's August 9th. Oh, on this day in history, a B-52 dropped a nuclear bomb on Nagasaki and killed 74,000 Japanese people. Damn. Oh, also, it's National Rice Pudding Day. Maybe I'm reading this wrong, but that sounds kind of racist. Am I crazy? Well, what do you think, Chester? Yeah. Well, rice pudding does sound pretty good, though. I've got some inside. Let's celebrate. Ah, well, look who decided to show up for work.
You're doing so great by yourself, you know? What could I do but get in the way, you know? Oh, you're out of Twinkies, by the way. And you weren't saving this rice pudding, were you?
No, help yourself, pal. Make yourself right at home. I'll just go grab some more. Hang tight.
Drew? Where are you going, man? Show's starting here. Well, this reminds me of SimplyScaryPodcast.com. For $5 a month, you get our whole catalog, dating back to 2012, ad-free and available to download or stream. And Patreon.com/DrewBlood, when he's around. Well, let's make the best of it, shall we? This one's the second installment of Moish Mendelstein, Private Eye. If you missed the first episode, you can find it on Season 3, Episode 16. Special thanks to listener Amanda Brand, who reached out to me and kind of forced me to write another one. Under penalty of pain, I think she put it. Well, of course, I aim to please. So without further delay, I present to you Moish Mendelstein, The Briefcase. Investigation. A systematic or formal inquiry to discover and examine the facts of an incident, so as to establish the truth. Use in a sentence. It's been quite a while since I've conducted anything that can be described as an investigation. So long that I wonder sometimes if I can call myself an investigator at all. My landlady certainly doesn't think so, and I know this because she told me. In no uncertain terms, either.
Mendelstein? I haven't seen a cent from your cheap ass since February. And need I remind you I'm running a business here? Unlike someone I know. Unless you've changed your name to Scratch in My Ass Incorporated. Damn Jew.
Yeah, there have been terms less certain than those. This, for example. I'm Moish Mendelstein, Private Eye. I got an office here on the third floor of the old Styrofoam Cup building. They say one fateful July 4th, a fatal flaw in the machinery caused the bottoms to fall out of every styrofoam cup in circulation. Ruined every barbecue in Schenectady, the legend says. The ensuing deluge of laundry bills put the joint out of business, and the building was repurposed for smaller operations. Mine, for example, was fit for the old maintenance room. And while not the fanciest digs in town, the drain in the middle of the floor was a convenient place to pee. That said, I couldn't afford to lose it. It's also said that given time, God will provide. Oftentimes, not until the last minute. And he might let you wander the desert for 40 years or so in the interim. But for the faithful, the provisions would come. If only Greta the landlady was as patient as me. I had an idea just then. Maybe sweet-talking the old gal would buy me some time. I picked up the phone.
Hello? Mandelstein? You got my money or what?
Greta, so nice to hear from you.
You called me, deadbeat. What do you want? I'm watching my programs.
Have I ever told you how much I love your smile?
I haven't smiled since my husband's funeral, stupid.
Ah, but I think I could change that.
Yeah? You've actually got my rent money?
Money. Is that all you think about, Greta? Because I'm talking about something much more important. Much more exciting. I'm talking about love.
Mandelstein, I'd rather fuck a rusty cheese grater with AIDS.
Oh, come on.
I wouldn't fuck you with my worst enemy's pussy. And by that, I mean your pussy. Because I think you're my worst enemy. So cough it up or you're out. By the end of the week. Capiche?
She hung up then. I must have caught her at a bad time. In any case, it looked like I was going to have to come up with a couple bucks. And fast. Not a minute into perusing yesterday's classified section, I heard a knock at my door. Not the cute, inviting knock you might get from a tentative vacuum salesman, nor the rhythmic paradiddle of the pizza guy. No, this was the insistent knock of someone in need of help. If he had the room number right, either from a private eye extraordinaire, or the drain in my floor for an urgent call from nature. Either way, it was time to roll the bones. I let a few knocks go by, as is my custom, then opened the door. There stood a hulking cue ball of a man. Middle-aged, well-dressed, hairy-knuckled. By the look of him, the volume of his knock was less urgency than the size of his mitts alone. A real bruiser. Anything I can do for you, mister? I don't suppose you're here to borrow a cup of sugar.
I'm sweet enough, Mr. Mandelstein. When I want to be.
Well, I guess I can skip the matter of introducing myself. And who might you be?
My friends call me Sal. That said, you can call me Mr. Leonardi.
A formal type, eh? Guess I shouldn't expect a kiss on your way out.
You're lucky I don't have you call me by my full name, smart guy. That's Mr. Leopoldo Linguini Umbembe Leonardi. The second.
Well, I appreciate the economy of words. Hold on. Did you say Umbembe?
As much as it pains me to say it, Mandelstein, especially to a washed-up old Jew with an attitude problem, I've got a job I need done, and I think you're just the guy to do it.
You don't say, Mr. Umbembe.
That's Leonardi, scumbag. Don't make me remind you again. A few swats with my reminding stick is something you'll never forget.
He pulled aside his jacket to show me the collapsible baton stuck in his belt. Next to that, the grip of a little pistol. I take it that one's your forgetting stick, huh?
I could make you forget your 7th birthday,
the big galoot said.
And remember your 6th and 8th just fine. I could trim your cuticles with this thing, Mandelstein. So don't test me.
Wouldn't dream of it. I stepped back and let him inside. He picked up a briefcase and brought it with him. I'd offer you a drink. Maybe a little snifter of Sambuca with a few espresso beans in it. But I'm afraid I'm fresh out.
Play your cards right, booby. You'll be soaking your matzo balls in Manischewitz. Count on it. Cross me, though. You'll be swimming with the gefilte fishes.
Well, that second option meant one of two things from where I was standing. Either I'd be soaking my toes in jellied broth, or he meant to rub me out. In any case, not exactly a day at the spa. Well, I've given it some thought, Mr. Leonardi. I've thought it over real good. I'll take the Manischewitz.
Wise choice,
my new friend said. He motioned for me to go ahead and take a seat at my desk. Very kind of him. Then he pulled out a big cigar and clipped the end of it onto the floor and kicked it into my floor drain.
It ain't hard work, working for a guy like me. My yoke is light, as they say. Only about as heavy as this briefcase.
He set it down between us. And what do we have here? I asked. If you're selling luggage door to door, why didn't you just come right out with it? I understand times are tough.
Hysterical, Mendelwitz. And the door-to-door part is going to be your job. I need you to deliver this briefcase to one Carmen Valentine, proprietor of the Suggestive Beaver Gentlemen's Club. You heard of it?
Had I heard of it? Who hadn't? If only for the mysterious stories and dark reputation. It was one of those places you knew about, but only like some top-secret government facility. Merely a shadow in the distance. Once in a while, you'd hear some bum try to tell you he'd been in there. Spin some yarn about extraterrestrial strippers, anti-gravity table dances, blowjobs that transcend space and time. All sorts of hooey. In any case, the Suggestive Beaver was a place of legend. And the idea that Leonardi was suggesting I go there myself. You're saying they're going to let me in, Leonardi? I heard they lop off a pinky for the cover charge. And just so you know, when I'm not busy doing investigations, I'm really into making shadow puppets.
Oh, they'll let you in, Mendelbaum. You just show up tonight at 10 p.m. Let them know who you're there to see and who sent you. Tell them Carmen's expecting you. Believe me, Booby, you'll get the red carpet treatment.
I guess he figured I'd have stars in my eyes just then. But instead, he caught them scrutinizing the suspicious briefcase sitting in between us. Fine gray leather, sitting there like a double-stitched elephant in the room. With lock and clasps, and no doubt, RFID protection. Whatever that is.
Don't even think about it, Mendelsnitz. What's in that briefcase has nothing to do with you. Or me, for that matter. What's important is it gets to where it needs to go. You even think about trying to open it, and that fancy suit of yours is going to get ventilated. With you in it. Meanwhile, you simply follow my directions, and you'll have all the gefilte fish you can handle. Maybe even the expensive kind, with the little carrots and all that. Capiche?
He ashed his cigar, moving his fancy shoe out of the way just in time for it to land on my floor. You'd drive a hard bargain, Leonardi, it being off-season and all. You'd be hard-pressed to find the good stuff for anything but expensive. But how much we talking about? Normally, I don't even put my ears on for less than $5,000, right? I only did it now since I like you so damn much. I admit I was shooting a little high there. And by that, I mean I was lucky to make $5,000 in a fiscal quarter. But I'll be damned. Like I'd incanted the money into existence just by saying it. The big galoot pulled out a stack right in front of me.
Figured as much, Jew and all. But here's your retainer, Mendelnitz. And there's 5 more waiting for you upon receipt. As long as you do what you're supposed to do. And you better keep your nose out of that briefcase. If you open it, I'll know. And then you'll be making shadow puppets on the lid of a coffin. Capiche?
Got it, I said. I was still kind of mesmerized at the slab of money sitting on the palm of my hand. The crispness of the bills. And the kind of odd eyebrow look Ulysses S. Grant seemed to be giving me just then. One moment it was attaboy, the next it was scrutiny. Like he was going, is this what's come of the Republic I fought for? Strange suitcases delivered to seedy strip clubs, wherein dubious women perform anti-gravity blowjobs and the like. Regrettable. Maybe. Maybe it was regrettable. But money doesn't grow on trees, Mr. President. But until I see a gefilte fish printing machine in that treasury building, we do what we gotta do, eh? 10 p.m. at the suggestive beaver. You got it, Leonardi. And just that easy? I was corrupted. Me, of all people. By the mutton chops of Ulysses. Me. Well, I suppose every man has a price. Minutes later, I was back on my own, with only the cloud of cigar smoke and the briefcase to remind me of my enchanting meeting with Mr. Sal Umbembe Leonardi. And the money, of course. That tucked deeply in the pocket of my threadbare linen pants. I put it there only after admiring it alone for a bit. Doing things I might find embarrassing if anyone had seen me. Thumbing the bills like a flipbook under my nose and enjoying the aroma. Rubbing it on my bare chest and whatnot. And to think. Another $5,000 on top of this once I deliver the briefcase to Carmen Valentine. Carmen the Meatball Valentine. In his street days, he's supposed to have offed a rival gang's leader, ground him into a lean chuck, and made meatballs out of him. Depends who you ask. Someone else might say he made one big meatball. Another might say it was a country-style meatloaf. Any way you slice it, Valentine was not a man to be messed with. Which made it all the more absurd why I needed so badly to know what was in the briefcase. What I really needed was the money. I was eating bologna end sandwiches at this point. And let me tell you, if you think bargaining with the deli guy for the discarded ends of the bologna is any way to make your Jewish mother proud of you, you can put that one to bed. Same goes for the cheese ends. Still, for all you enterprising PIs down on your luck out there, consider it a pro tip. Beats human meatloaf, anyway. And I'll be damned. Just the second Mendelstein Investigations was starting to feel like itself again, the phone rang. Man, this place was hopping. So I let it ring a few times, as is my custom. Theater of the mind, I like to call it. Mendelstein Investigations.
Mr. Mendelstein. Oh, thank God you're there.
A damsel in distress. My favorite kind, in fact.
Listen, I have to keep this quick. You may have received a mysterious parcel today, and were asked to deliver it somewhere. Is this correct?
Ma'am, I'm afraid I cannot confirm or deny what you're asking me right now. Confidentiality is paramount in my line of work, as I'm sure you're aware, miss.
My name isn't important, Mr. Mendelstein. What's important is that you don't deliver that package. Under any circumstances. I don't care how much he's paying you. You must not deliver that package.
Now, what I wanted to say was, you don't care how much they're paying me? Well, that makes one of us, madam. How many bologna end sandwiches have you eaten this week? But I didn't, of course. Because I was already 5 toes into this mud puddle, and she must have known that herself. Say, hypothetically, of course. This hypothetical package and scenario of yours did have some basis in reality, which cannot, of course, be confirmed or denied. What might such a parcel contain?
You're better off not knowing, Mendelstein. Trust me on that. And trust me on this while you're at it. That briefcase gets delivered, and we're all gonna be in a world of hurt. And whatever they're paying you ain't enough to cover the damage. Capiche?
Man, if I ever heard the word capiche again, it would be far too soon. And with everyone capiching me at once today, who was I supposed to believe? Say, hypothetically, of course. I already had half of what the suppositional he was paying me. And if this conjectural briefcase were not delivered to these theoretical hands, I might lose a whole lot more than my thesaurus. You got a course of action for that one, my mysterious friend? Or are you just like every other woman in my life? plenty of problems to yap about, but zilch in the solution department. Silence for a moment. It seemed I'd struck a nerve. But if I was going to let Betty Buzzkill rain on my parade, she was going to have to give me a pretty damn good reason. That $5,000 felt pretty good nestled there against my thigh, and my other thigh was feeling mighty lonely.
All right, listen. I'll need to meet you in person. Somewhere safe. Give me an address and I'll be there in an hour. And before you ask, it can't be at your office, Mendelstein.
And why is that? You don't trust me? Silly question. You won't even tell me your name. Makes me wonder why I should trust you. You're quite the puzzling portmanteau yourself. Another pause.
You can call me Paula, all right?
Well, now we're getting somewhere. Hell, I feel like I've known you my whole life. Almost enough to give up the best paycheck I've ever had, just to go on wallowing in poverty.
Don't be a smartass. The stakes here are so dire, you have no idea what you've gotten yourself into.
Maybe true. Although I never seem to get myself into anything. It all just kind of happens around me, like I'm some sort of substrate collecting bacteria in the germ-riddled underworld. So I gave her the address of the most high-security facility I knew.
And you're positive we'll be safe there?
She asked. I assured her we'd be as safe as the Queen's corgis, and she cautioned me to use the back door on the way out, to avoid any prying eyes. And briefcase in hand, I made my way to the outskirts of Chinatown to visit my old pals at Hacks, Cracks, and Pawn.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I know what you're thinking, folks. With all the lines of work in this land of opportunity we live in, why would I ultimately choose to do what I do? That's to say, not much at all, besides solving the occasional 2-bit case, drinking away my meager profits, and occasionally getting laid. Because the day-to-day grind just doesn't butter my bagel. Teaching a guy like me to work 9-to-5 would be like teaching a fish to ride a bicycle. That's to say, you'd need a very particular bicycle. To that end, I rode my 10-speed Peugeot to Hacks, Cracks, and Pawn, and put my rubber dog poop on the seat to dissuade any pilferous peddlers in the area. Fifth Avenue, this was not. I took a look around, wary of any prying eyes, and went inside. Business as usual at the pawn shop. Leon had added to his flexfiction.com cap a flexfiction.net t-shirt. I made a mental note to peruse those sites later, after this briefcase business was resolved.
Mendelstein, the young man greeted me. How goes saving the Republic?
He already had his eye on my briefcase.
Oh, son of a bitch!
Came Brian's refrain from the back.
My ass! That was a headshot!
So far, so good, I said. In fact, the plot may have thickened. That conspiratorial whirl came over his eyes.
That right? Do tell.
Freaking lag, man. Shitcast. High speed my ass.
Still training for the Fart Night Olympics back there?
Don't mind Brian Mendelstein. He's just upset they got rid of the Butter Barn song. Whatever that is. And I never knew you as the briefcase type. So, what's the story?
I set the briefcase on the counter in front of him and explained that I was to deliver this mysterious artifact to the suggestive beaver into the hands of one Carmen the Meatball Valentine. And to keep my above-average-sized nose out of the case, at the risk of a surreptitious burial ceremony. And, of course, that pesky dame on the phone, threatening to rain on my parade. She sure had her panties in a bunch. But who was she working for? The way she was acting, you'd think the briefcase was loaded with plutonium-238. But say it was something as simple as an implicating photo. Something along those lines. Would I risk life and limb? Not to mention another 5,000 big ones. To protect some poor trollop's reputation? Hey, not all heroes wear capes. But no heroes at all wear 20-year-old pilled linen suits. Leon examined the lock and clasps. Brian could pick these clasps with his eyes closed, but there could be some security mechanism installed that'll let him know we opened it. Well, first things first, I said, and checked my watch. We've got company. Just like that, the little bell on the door announced my lunch date, and in walked Betty Buzzkill. I could tell by the look on her face she wasn't expecting a crowd.
Mendelstein, who is this guy?
I could tell a few more things as well. Even enshrouded in her modest business casual getup, she had a body on her that could make a man bend over backwards. Or forward, for that matter. Hell, she had a body I'd do side bends for. I might even do Jane Fonda's workout if she asked me to. The kind of body that could hypnotize a man without even dangling anything in front of his face. Not that I'd mind that so much either. The kind of body that...
My face is up here, Mendelstein. And who is this guy? What did you take this for, a coffee clutch?
Not to worry, Miss Paula. He's one of us.
Tell me you weren't followed.
I wasn't followed. Trust me. Leon had removed his Flex Fiction hat and was clutching it by his chest like a real gentleman. His hair looked like the partially melted corpse of a road-killed skunk.
Pleasure to make your acquaintance, ma'am. I assure you, your business here will be held in the utmost confidence.
Oh, Christ, she said. Well, I don't suppose I have any choice but to trust you.
Fuck me! My ping speed is despicable!
Every eye in the room turned toward the back.
Please forgive the language, Miss... Ma'am. That's Brian. He's a professional fart night player. The internet's been a little touchy.
She let out a deflating sigh.
Okay, listen. If Sal knew I was here right now, he'd kill me. Literally. It's important that you understand that, all right?
Sal? You don't mean...
Yes, the man you spoke with. He's my fiancé, and I love him. I try my best to support him, but I'm afraid he's gotten in over his head here. Way over his head. See?
Hold on. You love him? You sure we're talking about the same guy here? She gave me a purse-lipped little scowl.
Sal Leopoldo Linguini Umbembe Leonardi.
Wait, the second?
Yes, the second. And I know I shouldn't be interfering in his business. But I'm scared, Mr. Mendelstein. Because this time, I'm sure things won't work out the way they're supposed to.
All right, settle down a minute. And tell me what we're dealing with. Give me the skinny.
That briefcase you're supposed to deliver to Carmen? I don't know what's in it, but I know this much. Carmen is Al Dente's most trusted captain. He runs the monosodium glutamate business for all of Schenectady. Every pint of lo mein, every egg roll, Carmen's got a piece of it.
She leaned in a little closer so I could take a peek down her blouse. Well, that's not exactly why she did it, I'm sure, but I obligingly took the liberty.
Sal has always resented Carmen for that. He thinks he should have been the one to get that contract. And if Common were out of the picture, he'd certainly be at the top of the list to take it over. At least, that's what he believes.
And what do you believe, Miss Paula?
Just Paula, please. Paula, Portabella, Mortadella, Maria, Prosciutto. And what I believe is what everyone knows, but poor, naive Sal refuses to accept. And I'm so sorry for betraying him, but I just know it.
What do you know, Paula? What do you know that poor, gentle Sal doesn't?
Everyone knows Sal is resentful of Common for that contract. The second something happens to him, they'll know exactly who's to blame. He's reckless, Mendelstein. He thinks he can just knock off Common and snatch up the MSG racket for himself. But I know if that happens, all eyes will be on him.
And then you'll never become Mrs. Leopoldo Linguini Umbembe Leonardi Portabella Mortadella Maria Prosciutto.
And it'll be my fault for not stopping him.
With this, she began to cry, her ample bosom heaving with every sob. And I tell ya, I swelled with so much empathy just then, you could have hung a wet beach towel on it. There was no shortage of thoughts flitting through my detective's brain at that moment. Foremost among them was the image of a bundle of $100 bills with little angel wings, floating up, up and away. But there were other things to consider before I allowed such a horrifying scenario. What if she was the naive one? For all I knew, this briefcase business could be completely above board. Maybe good old Sal and Carmen were best pals behind the scenes. Just using yours truly as a trusted courier for some confidential paperwork. Maybe Sal was submitting his debut romance novel for Carmen's publishing consideration. These matters can be sensitive, of course. Or maybe she was right. And in that case, my inscrutable ethics would demand I point my moral compass in the right direction. That's to say, right toward First Schenectady Bank. You must really love good old Sal, Paula. Good, well-meaning soul that he is. I'm sure he only wants the best for you out of all this. And say you're right. Say that's exactly what he's up to. And say I can find a way out of this. So you and handsome Sal can get married and live in wedded bliss and have all sorts of kids with long, happy lives and really long names. I guess the question is, what's it worth to you, Paula? I could just finish this job like your husband wants and walk away with another $5,000. Or we could do it your way, per se. Another $5,000. She had a look on her mug like she just had a mouthful of Mushado macaroni.
My entire future hangs in the balance, and all you can think about is money? Have you no decency?
I've got decency, Miss Paula. Plenty of it. Along with plenty of bills and just as many troubles. Besides, that's normally my retainer.
Fine, she hissed. Let's sink that thing in the Mohawk River and be done with it.
Whoa there, I said. Complex problems require complex solutions. Simply toss this thing in the drink, and I'll be right there along with it. And that's after my .32 caliber cuticle trimming. Worse yet, I'll be sleeping with the fishes before I can even spend that $5,000 on booze and women.
I agree, Leon said. First things first, we've got to find out what's in that briefcase. Brian, Mendelstein's here. We've become embroiled in another hard-boiled conspiracy.
Son of a whore,
came the reply. And following the great creak of a chair, the old gun entered the showroom, his expression softening at the sight of the lovely Miss Paula.
Good afternoon, ma'am. Please forgive any crass language you may have heard back there. Any improprieties were uttered in the heat of battle. Like William T. Cummings once said, the trenches are rife with coarse language.
Another weirdo, she said. All I want is for this not to happen. How complicated does that have to be?
Brian is no stranger to highly sensitive covert operations. He's an old hat, ma'am. Brian, are you able to operate that antique shoe-fitting fluoroscope? We need to see what's in this briefcase without opening it. We suspect it may be rigged with special sensors, perhaps even booby-trapped.
Good heavens! I'm not sure about the fluoroscope. I guess there's only one way to find out.
How the hell is a kaleidoscope supposed to help? Can't we just get rid of this thing and forget about it?
Miss Paula's words went unacknowledged as Brian produced a vintage fluoroscope from behind the counter. An ancient X-ray machine, once used to measure the shoe sizes of our ancestors. He plugged it in, and the screen atop the box glowed a faint green. The air in the room took on the scent of ozone.
Ma'am, do you suspect any material in this briefcase are susceptible to low levels of ionizing radiation? Organic peroxides? Potassium compounds, perhaps?
I don't know what's in that briefcase, numbnuts. That's what we're trying to find out. Well, what you're trying to find out, anyway. I just want to get rid of the damn thing.
And me in the process, I reminded her. All to save that precious little cannoli of yours. I slid the briefcase into the fluoroscope and braced myself for some organic peroxide to become ionized. Brian bent an eyebrow and examined the screen like a discriminating cobbler.
Unmistakable, he said. By the shape alone, like the silhouette of a beautiful woman backlit by the moonlight.
As soon as you're done waxing poetic, Brian, feel free to let me have it.
Have a look yourself.
He was right. Unmistakable. The classic shape of a rubber chicken, silhouetted in the moonlight. I motioned Miss Paula to take a look herself. Apparently, she was less adept in the world of humorous rubber artifacts.
Some kind of dildo?
And more adept at others. It's a rubber chicken, Paula. Some of them squeak when you squeeze them. Some of them just sit there and look pretty. Very few of them end up in such sensitive situations. So my question is, just what does this one do? Leon retrieved the briefcase and tested it for weight.
My educated guess? If this one ever squeaked, it doesn't anymore. There's something in it. It's just a really hilarious way to hide something. Get it from point A to point B.
Agreed. But why the briefcase? The secrecy. There's nothing less hilarious than a briefcase, especially a nice one like this.
Not to mention the fact that whatever's inside this thing could just as easily been in something else, or nothing at all. Or a less nice briefcase. Confounding.
Are you guys actually retarded?
Symbolism, I said to her. You people love symbolism.
What do you mean, you people?
I mean you people, who'll peel the lips off a guy who talks too much and leave him in plain sight for his friends to find. We'll shove a guy's balls up his own ass when you find out he spends a little too much time at the 24-hour bathhouse. I mean you people, who'll eat a bowl of spaghetti with a side of bread. Italians, Paula, you're all about symbolism, about sending a message.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
He's right, Brian said. This kind of symbolism is too delicious for any Italian to resist. Believe me, I know.
You Italian, Brian?
I did a stint at the Olive Garden back in my 20s. Not that there were any Italians there, but I kind of embodied the culture for a while. But enough about me, Miss Paula. Tell me everything you know.
With a bosom-heaving sigh, she did just that. Recounted to Brian everything she'd told me and more. Details emerged. most notably how Carmen had once called Sal a chicken for not participating in the annual Mafia softball tournament, when really it was only a bad case of agita, and how that had really stuck in his craw, even to this day. Had even led to occasional performance issues in the bedroom. Like I said, she really let it hang out this time. "It's obvious as a deli tray at a bar mitzvah," Leon said. "Whatever's in that chicken is set to blast. Just as soon as old Meatball gets the message. Who's the chicken now, Paisan? Blammo."
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
So, I was right. Right all along. Oh, Sal. Sweet, foolish Sal. They'll know who did it immediately. You can't deliver that briefcase, Mandelstein.
But what if I can? I said. The little hamster wheel in my head was running full tilt. Carmen's supposed to be expecting me. So tell me this. What exactly is he expecting?
I'm just a mafia housefrau, Mandelstein. How am I supposed to know?
You sure know a bunch to begin with, I said.
Think hard.
Meatball thinks he's getting something good. Good enough to let a guy like me in this fancy place there. Brian smacked the counter in epiphany.
I've got it! It's as obvious as a deli tray at a bar mitzvah.
I already used that one, Leon said.
Problem is, we've got to get into that briefcase. It's imperative.
I knew he was right. If there was any matter on which a professional gamer could speak with authority, it was imperative, even with the supposed sensors Sal had employed. Then again, what good would any sensors do if Carmen was supposed to open the thing anyway in a few hours? A bluff. Who'd have pegged poor sweet Sal for such a sleazy move? Can you pick it? My question was answered immediately with a snap of dual clasps and a raised eyebrow that suggested,
forget about it.
I left Hacks, Cracks, and Pawn with the amended briefcase and a stain on the back of my pants. Some clever pedestrian had switched out the rubber dog poop on my bike seat with a genuine turd of uncertain origin. Again, Fifth Avenue, this was not, but there was no time for dry cleaning. It was 9 p.m., and I had a job to do. One that could have been thought out a bit better, I had to admit. No question I was flying by the seat of my pants, and the seat of my pants had seen better days. But would Sal really know we'd opened the briefcase? Not likely. That chicken was stuffed with enough plastique to blow Meatball's place sky high, and a little blasting cap where the previous squeaker had been. Very clever. Not as clever as Brian and Leon, though. My deputy Dix had replaced it with a non-explosive rubber chicken. This one stuffed with MSG from the Chinese place next door. Point being, at the end of all this, it'll look like I followed my role to a T. Only Sal's little party favor turned out to be a dud. Everyone lives, Paul is happy, and I'm farting through silk. Another $5,000 from Sal, five more from Paula, and all my problems are over for the time being. Greta gets paid, and my liquor cabinet is full to overflowing. Maybe I'll even get myself a brand new suit. Hopefully they won't bury me in it. Keep your fingers crossed for me, would you? Anyway, that was enough time for a bike ride. The infamous Suggestive Beaver Club was on the outskirts of town. just far enough from the road to insulate it from the average Joes and Janes going about their above-board existences. Nothing like what happened behind those big Art Deco doors and those blacked-out windows covered with wrought iron bars. Story goes, this was once the mansion of Jan van Stroopwafel, direct descendant of Schenectady's founder, Dutch colonist Dirk van Klotstomper. Stroopwafel was less than enthusiastic about selling this place to its current owner. Of course, he had less to say about it when they found him dead one morning, with a tomato in his mouth and a sprick in a waffle iron. Stroopwafel's brother didn't want to sell it either, they say. But they found him one morning with a bottle of Sambuca up his ass and a mouthful of espresso beans. In any case, the message was clear, and I hear Al Dente got a pretty good deal on the place. So here I was, at Carmen Valentine's Den of Iniquity. I opened the front door and found myself in a dark vestibule. Behind a thick glass partition was one of Carmen's greaseball buddies, no doubt put on door duty because of his impressive skill set.
Who the hell are you? Oh, wait. You're that filthy Jew detective, aren't you? Dinglestein? What do you want? I know you ain't got no cash.
I held up the briefcase. It's strictly business, I said. Mr. Valentine's expecting me. By way of Sal Leopoldo Linguini Umbembe Leonardi.
Oh yeah, Sal. Wait a minute. Did you just say Umbembe?
I shrugged at that. I did. My best guess is the whole Moors invading Sicily thing. Anyway, we good to go here, pal? I don't know what's in this briefcase, but judging how much they paid me to bring it here, I'm guessing some real hard Parmesan.
Yeah, all right. You're on the list here. Go straight in. Straight past the stage, down the hall that says administration, and it's the door at the end of the hallway.
A little light by the doorknob flashed green, and I let myself in. The dark club smelled like cigar smoke, B.O., and Dracar Noir. A couple stages were lit up, with their dancing broads swinging around poles or approximating funny yoga positions I was pretty sure they didn't learn from the Bhagavad Gita. I kept my eyes to myself. Past the bathrooms, I saw a little lawn jockey holding a stack of hand towels. I didn't give it much thought until it said, "Hey, Jew boy," and winked at me. I'll tell you, the wonders never cease. I walked down the administration hallway and approached the door like I'd been told. I knocked, and it opened almost immediately. Flanked by a couple of Goombas, Carmen himself sat behind his desk, hunched over an immense sandwich made with a whole loaf of bread. Less Dracar, less smoke, add oil, vinegar, and oregano.
Mendelbaum, I heard you was coming. Got something good for me? I'd offer you a sandwich, but all I got's this one. Trying to lose some weight, you know.
Oh, you and me both, I said. I handed the briefcase to one of his buddies. Starting with this, courtesy of our mutual friend.
Heh, and speaking of fat, fucking guy ought to be hanging next to a bunch of Capricola.
With this, he raised an introspective eyebrow.
Not a bad idea, really. I ought to try that sometime.
His friends both nodded in agreement. Meatball dialed in the code and unlocked the briefcase. He lifted the lid and looked confoundedly at the chicken.
Eh, what the fuck?
He palpitated it, and it burped up a little MSG. This he gathered on a finger and tasted.
Ooh, the good stuff. Umami as fuck, fellas. And Dinglebaum, how much can you get?
Me? Oh, this is all Sal, Mr. Valentine. I don't know his sources.
Oh yeah, fucking Sal. Fat bastard. Hey, you know I'm fucking his girlfriend, right?
Paula? I almost said, but I caught myself before I did. But he seized on my wide-eyed expression and said,
I don't know what she sees in the fuck, but it sure ain't what I give her. I'll give Sal this much, he sure knows how to pick 'em. The ass on her's incredible. And she's got these big fucking tits.
With that, the door opened behind me, and wouldn't you know it, in walked Paula.
Oh, hey, speak of the devil, eh?
He knows, Moish. I told him. I just felt so guilty with everything going on.
Hold on a minute. I thought you were...
I was trying to save Sal, she said. But it's true. About Carmen and I. I love them both, Moish. Sal, he's so sweet and caring. He's the marrying type, you know. But Carmen, he's different. He's got this pig. Fucking.
Nah, I get it, Paula. You're playing both sides of the fence. I didn't take it for such an insatiable...
Hey, take it from me, Dinglestein. Sometimes you just gotta do what you gotta do. Look at it this way. Only reason I'm letting old Sal stay around is because I like his girlfriend so much, eh? I know the fat fuck wants to kill me. I know he thinks he deserves what I have. Fact is, her playing both sides of the fence is the only thing keeping him alive. So let's hope for Sally's sake she can keep doing it, eh? Maybe right after I finish my sandwich, you baby doll.
I love it when you smell like deli fixins, baby.
Enough!
The door opened again, and in walked Sal himself. It seemed the jig was finally up.
I'm such a goddamn stroons. I should have known all along.
Oh, Sal. I'm so sorry. I was only trying to...
Sal turned to me.
I had my eye on you the whole time, Mandelnitz. I seen you pedaling down the street with that briefcase early on in the day. Going in the opposite direction of this place. I seen you slip into that pawn shop. And imagine my surprise when I seen Paula show up at the very same place 10 minutes later.
You promised me you hadn't been followed, she hissed at me.
You're gonna blame him for this, Paula? After all you done?
I was only trying to save you, you big galoot. You heard it yourself. He knew all along you had it out for him. If I'd let you do what you meant to do, you'd be wrapped in cheesecloth and hanging in a curing room by morning.
Yeah, huh? And how much worse would that be than what I have now? I'll tell you what, Paula. My darling. My love. I went into that pawn shop after you two left. And what do you think I found sitting there in the display case? Cost me the $5,000 I was supposed to give you, Bubby. But that's all right. Because not only did you welch on your deal, but I don't think you'll be needing the money. And neither will I. And neither will you, Meatball. Because they'll be scraping that big brajola of yours off the ceiling when this is over.
From his jacket, he produced two items. The C4-laden chicken in one hand, and a remote detonator in the other. Carmen sat frozen at his desk, his associates wide-eyed and stone-faced.
Who's the chicken now, you chooch? You want to open your mouth to me now?
And just take it easy, Sal. No harm done. Let's just settle down and talk this out.
Sal, please, you know I love you the most. Sure, I'll take a ride on the big brajole from time to time. But who do I go home with, honey? Who do I go home with every night?
It's too late for all that. Too late for all of you. Just think, Mendelnitz. You could have been sitting at home with a handle of Manischewitz and a nice jar of Mrs. Adler's. Now look at you. And you, Paula. If I can't have you all to myself, baby, no one can.
He thumbed the button on the remote detonator. Nothing happened. Of course nothing happened. Brian had disarmed the thing. Why wouldn't he? If he didn't, that would have been dangerous.
Damn it! Blow up, you stupid bastard!
With the tension suddenly much lower, and Sal furiously squeezing the button, Meatball's associate sprung into action. One sap to the side of the head, and poor gentle Sal went down like a 400-pound sack of semolina. And before long, they were dragging him out of the office and off to who knows where. Wherever they cure their choicest capicola. I'd like to say I made out better than I actually did. At least an anti-gravity blowjob or something for my trouble. Truth is, it was a little awkward around the office after they dragged out old Sal. Not the kind of atmosphere where you want to bring up financial matters. Miss Paula had just lost the guy she'd hired me to protect, and she didn't seem in the mood to cut me a check. The other one who owed me was most likely being cut into hams at the moment, and I hadn't exactly succeeded on his behalf either. I'd get a nice commission from Hacks, Cracks, and Pawns for our little consignment sale, no doubt. But I'd only make out with about half of the 15K I was looking forward to. Well, that and my little token of appreciation from Carmen Valentine.
Get yourself a cup of coffee, he said.
And he slipped a $10 Dunkin' Donuts gift card into my pocket, clearly re-gifted.
Don't say I never done nothing for you.
I did show up at Sal's funeral service, class act that I am. Naturally, the casket was closed. For all I knew, it was full of sandbags. There was plenty of pasta and bread, of course, and I ate while the eating was good. Washed it down with about half a box of cheap burgundy, too. The agita was crippling, but I did get to schmooze it up with a bunch of wise guys who might one day become customers. Who knows? When I showed up at Greta's store with the back rent and a few months in advance, her attitude markedly improved. Fewer anti-Semitic remarks, anyway. And I safely retreated back to my office, where I'd celebrate in grand style. Drink to excess and pass out on my couch. I'd only managed to drink to moderate excess when the knock came at my door. Paula? I didn't expect to see you here, especially after what happened. How are you? She sauntered into my office like she owned the place and plopped down on the sofa.
It's been lonely without Sal, she said. And Carmen. He's moved on to another one of his bimbos. It's like yesterday I had all the brashol I could handle. And now?
She looked at me. A look I knew all too well. The kind of look I see maybe once or twice a year at best. Well, at least once.
That's all right, though. I was getting sick of all that brashol. I was hoping maybe for a little, knish, maybe?
Ah. I think that could possibly be arranged. Could I interest you in a couple of matzo balls on the side?
Oh, Mendelstein, don't be crass. Look, I just want to eat your ass and get fucked. Can we do business or no?
Yeah, sometimes it's great to be me. I'll admit it. Not always. Often it's not that great at all. But sometimes, it's great to be Moish Mendelstein. I'll leave you with this. Martin Luther King said famously, "If a man is to be called a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, 'Here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well.' To him I say, take a long walk off a short pier. Be instead like water, making its way through cracks. Do not be assertive, but adjust to the object, and you shall find a way around it or through it. If nothing within you stays rigid, outward things will disclose themselves. That one was Bruce Lee. Admittedly, MLK got a lot more pussy than Bruce did, but hey, need a 3-inch punch from a private dick? I'm your man. And that was Moish Mendelstein, The Briefcase. A good reminder, a little about the author. I work with Drew on this very show. I'm an author and narrator from Pennsylvania by way of New Jersey. You can find audiobooks I've narrated at flexfiction.net and ones I've written at flexfiction.com. You know, I got this kind of crappy book called Bump, B-U-M-P, which I'm trying to sell. I can't fucking sell any of them. Nobody wants it. It kind of sucks, but it's cute. You know, it's good. It was like my first attempt at a novel, and I don't know. Look, if you want it, B-U-M-P, bump, right? I don't know. If you hate it, you know, I'll make it up to you. You might like it, you know? I don't know. If you want it, grab it. All right, that's enough. Whatever. On to the shows. Longtime resident Otis Gyre has his very own penis right here on our network. Scary Stories Told in the Dark, which you can hear every Sunday night. Mondays, join the long, stately penis of Steve Taylor, voice of the network, for our flagship podcast, Chilling Tales for Dark Nights. Also airing Wednesday nights, hosted by the stout, rippling penis of Paul J. McSorley, Ambassador of the Midwest. Thursday nights, tune in for the dark, cerebral penis of Eric Peabody for the amazing Horror Hill. And as always, meet us here for the southern down-home penis of Drew Blood. Nothing to shake a stick at, let me tell you. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all our other episodes, visit simplyscarypodcast.com today and click the Patrons link at the top of the screen. You'll find yourself at chillingtalesfordarknights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month. Get access to our entire audio archive, ad-free and available to download or stream. If you happen to use Facebook, X, I guess, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there. You'll find me personally on Facebook, where you can send me drunken and drug-addled messages at all hours of the night. Or links to strange rap videos. Looking at you, Eric. Or encourage me to get off my ass and write stuff. Thanks again, Amanda. We are accepting submissions. If you got a story or two you'd like featured on the show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment. Well, I'm afraid this is where we part ways. This part is always hard for me.
All right, we can get started now.
Oh, Luca decided to show up himself.
Pudding, Jeff? Or have you had enough?
So, may the wind be at your back, and may the road rise up to meet you. Here's to eyes in your heads and none in your spuds. Drew, care to do the honors?
Go fuck yourselves. Hey, thanks for covering for me, Jeffrey. You're a gentleman and a scholar. And I'll see everyone else next week for our Season 7 premiere. We have something real special for you, so stay tuned. Good night, amigos.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.